Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Welcome to the Midwife Pip Podcast Bite Size, the home of all things pregnancy, birth and motherhood. This week, I'm sharing with you some golden moments and nuggets of information that will change your pregnancy, birth or postpartum journey for the better. You'll find the full episode linked in the description. But for now, wherever you are, let's dive into some short but transformative chat. Today's clip is from episode 46 with expert Tessa Vandervoort, chatting mental health during pregnancy. In this clip, we discuss the realities of mental well-being, what support is available, and how you can help manage common mental health conditions during pregnancy.
Grown up in a world where pregnancy is something to be celebrated, and you see these pictures in the media of sort of glowing mothers and they're rubbing their bumps and they look really happy and really healthy. But when it comes down to it, actually, I've always been taught that, first of all, around 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. So often people have that to tackle, that to get their head around, first of all. The second thing is actually it's not common that someone's feeling 100% brilliant throughout their whole pregnancy. You know, their body is going through such a massive change and feeling very tired, not able to sleep or eat sometimes, you know, in the way they want to be, that has a big knock-on effect too. But I think what's important to think about too is even those pregnancies that are planned and longed for, and perhaps someone who's been on a very long journey already to get pregnant, I've seen lots of people who feel incredibly guilty for their not feeling happy when they're pregnant. And actually, you know, for something that's so longed for, it doesn't equate to then feeling joyous and happy once you are finally pregnant. You know, anyway, if you look at it at what it is, you're gonna feel extremely anxious and stressed, and you just want to get to the end. You want to get to the end, the end product. You know, the baby at the end, because that is what you've been wanting for such a long time and working towards for such a long time. So actually, it compounds lots of feelings of guilt and inadequacy and things like that, and people feel incredibly guilty for having those negative feelings when they should be feeling happy and joyous. So I think there's been a lot of work to try and normalize how people truly feel in pregnancy. There's lots of people out there who are helping to get that message across. And I think we are getting much better at it. But I think going forward, I think being realistic about the situation and how you feel, it's not always going to be, you know, it's such a big life change, such a big life event. And then with any big life event that you have, you know, there's always stresses and things that come along with it, whether it be, you know, buying a house or getting married, or, you know, those big life events that we always think about and talk about, and we always talk about the stresses that come along with it, but we don't talk that way about pregnancy and having a baby, which is really strange, isn't it? But and equally, having a change in your mental state as well when you're pregnant is probably the most common thing that happens in pregnancy in comparison to other things we talk quite freely about, like, you know, if we have bleeding in our pregnancy, or we have a bit of high blood pressure, or we develop diabetes, you know, all these things just happen in conversation, don't they? And we talk about them quite freely. But why don't we talk about when there's been a change in our emotional state more freely? I don't know the answer. I've been working on that for quite a long time, but I think we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've never thought of it in the same context as, like you say, like common pregnancy complications that women will quite happily chat about. But yeah, you're right. It's one of those things, isn't it? We just need to smash that taboo and really lift the lid and get discussing it as much as possible and normalize it so that women feel more comfortable talking about it as well. Mm-hmm. We mentioned at the beginning, Tessa, you mentioned that through your service, one of the things that you are seeing is women who have a fear of childbirth, or tocophobia, as we sometimes call it as midwives. Have you seen big links between this and kind of mental health for women? Because certainly as a midwife, I practice on a labour ward setting. It's something I definitely seen rises in, is that kind of real fear of birth and tocophobia in women.
Yeah, definitely. I would probably say that they are two different things as well. I think fear of birth is very general, and many of us have that already. I think that can be boiled down to what we know about labour and birth prior to being pregnant. So what we've grown up watching, listening to, reading to, what our perception of labour and birth is. And I don't know about you, Pip, but when I think back to my sex ed, classes at school, watching a very dodgy video of someone giving birth, and it could be, you know, quite chaotic and probably quite disturbing for lots of people, certainly if you're a 10-year-old or however.
Yeah.
You know, that's most people's perception of what birth is, and we know that birth isn't always like that.
I mean, the media has not helped, has it? It's coached us to believe birth to be this awful, fearful, horrendous thing. So it's no wonder so many women have this kind of underlying fear.
Exactly. And I think I heard something quite funny once, that that popular Channel 4 program that if production companies obviously have to make programs about labor and birth, they've got to make it exciting and engaging and keep people's attention. If this person that made me laugh, if you actually filmed the whole thing for what it was, it would be a really boring program.
It'd be a really boring program. Yeah. If you follow someone's induction, you know, they're like 2 or 3 day induction of labor, no one would be tuning in.
Yeah, definitely. But I think fear of birth, I think a lot of that is down to what we know. So good education is a big thing when it comes to fear of birth. And I think a lot of myths can be busted around labour and birth and the normal physiology. And learning about the normal physiology of labour and birth is so powerful as well. And, you know, there's lots that we don't know. You know, I know it and you know it as midwives, but general population don't know about the amazing things that our body does throughout pregnancy and during birth. So I think good education is a must.
I hope you enjoyed this bite-sized clip, and why not go ahead and share it with others? If you want more, go back and listen to the full episode linked in the description. Before you go, please can you do one more thing? Make sure you've hit that subscribe button, as it helps me and the podcast reach out to and support even more women with crucial, expert, and reliable information through the podcast.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.